Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Lance Marsh, head of the performance area in the School of Theater at Oklahoma City University. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lance.
Thank you very much for having me, Tim. It's nice being here.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program. So we want to learn a little bit more about you. If you could tell us about your career and background that led you up to your time at Oklahoma City University.
Great. I'm a California native. Spent the early part of my career in primarily in Northern California. Came out to the Midwest to finish school. I was one of those guys that I had an unusual path where I didn't finish college right away. I went out and worked and toured for 6 years, mostly doing classical theater, mostly doing Shakespeare, Berklee Shakespeare Festival. And then I worked as an associate casting director plus an actor for a couple of years at a small regional theater in Central California. And then I finally came out to the Midwest, finished my undergraduate degree at Stevens College, where I was one of only 10 men in a primarily women's college, which was an unusual circumstance. Did a couple of summers at their summer stock program at Lake Okoboji. Then I went to graduate school in Wisconsin. Ended up working for 5 years as a company member at American Players Theater in Spring Green, Wisconsin, doing, again, a lot of classical theater. Somewhere around there, the teaching bug got me. I ended up at the University of Arizona for a couple of years, and then this is my 17th year here at Oklahoma City University.
Great. So as the head of performance area, see, I told you I was going to trip myself up on that. Head of the performance area at the School of Theater, which degree or degrees do you oversee?
Well, we have 3 degrees in the program. We have a BA in theater. We have a BFA in acting and a BFA in design and production. And I oversee the BFA acting program. That degree plan actually has 2 tracks to it. A track that's called stage and screen and one that's on camera acting. We call them tracks rather than separate degrees because they pretty much take the same classes for the freshman and sophomore years, the preparatory classes, and then they sort of widely diverge in terms of the specialty classes. But I oversee both of those tracks inside of the BFA acting degree.
Great. And so we've also already spoken to and had an episode with your colleague in the musical theater department there as well.
Dr. David Herendeen,
Dr. Herendeen. So not to just making sure that the people listening know right now, go listen to musical theater for that one because we are talking about actors today only. So if you could do me a favor now, as we start to dive into the program, I am a BFA acting student heading into my first year. Heading to Oklahoma City, what does that first year look like for me as far as curriculum? And if you want, I'm not sure, so tell us if you needed to split the 2 tracks up and talk about them separately.
Actually, the 2 tracks are very similar in the first year. It's really the 3rd and 4th years where they diverge. So if you want to talk about the freshman year, we're really only talking about 1 class that's different. The BFA degree is sort of heavily weighted towards the sophomore and junior year in terms of performance classes, but that certainly doesn't mean that you're not taking performance classes right away. You'll take a couple of acting classes in your first year. You'll also take a beginning voice and movement class, 2 semesters of that, which is a class that's called the Actor's Instrument, and both tracks take all of those classes. You'll take an introductory class to training in the program that we call the Freshman Actor Workshop. So those, all 5 of those are performance classes that are that both of the tracks take. You'll take a bunch of your general education classes and get some of those out of the way in your freshman year. If you're in the on-camera track, you'll also take an intro to on-camera acting class your first semester. And if you're in the stage and screen class, track, you'll be taking a script analysis class the 2nd semester of your freshman year. Also, if you're in the stage and screen track, you're likely taking private voice and dance while you're here, as well as taking a design and production class and working on a crew. I saw your eyes get a little big, Tim. So yeah, our BF, so we have a BM in musical theater, and we have the 2 tracks in the BFA acting program, and in a lot of places, if you're a BFA actor, they don't let you near musical theater. And if you're a music theater actor, they don't let you near straight acting. the theory behind this place, and you talked to my colleague David, so he's probably talked about this too, but we're much more about holistically training the students for the professional audition room. And you know this as well as I do, in the professional audition room, nobody cares what you majored in college. They only care what your skills are. So for us, we think it's dumb to keep walls between music, theater, and dance. We want to break those walls down and try to cross-train as much as we can. So we, especially in the stage and screen track, you're required to take private voice, you're required to take dance, and there's enough room to take private voice every single semester that you're in the program. So we are training you to have music theater skills as part of an acting degree, because we think training a stage actor who can't be in a musical is kind of dumb.
Do you have your own faculty? Do you have your own faculty for that, or are they heading over to the School of Music for that?
We don't. We teach almost all of the acting classes for both the dance majors and the music theater majors. The music school teaches the music classes, and the dance school teaches the dance classes. We think let the experts teach their expertise. So, you know, I'll have a freshman acting one class filled with music theater majors and BFA actors, and then they'll be in the same voice studios, they'll be in the same dance classes that they've leveled into with the dancers and the music theater students. So there's a nice mix of that. But especially in that track, you're guaranteed to be able to get into dance classes and voice classes because we want you to be able to train for that. The other track, the on-camera track, you can take those classes, but typically those students end up taking a lot more classes over in the film school. That second track, when you get into the junior and senior year, and a few of them in the sophomore year, are going to take 29 hours in the film school. And those classes will include things like writing for film, producing for film, editing for film, and directing for film. Because we don't want to just train actors, we want to train content creators, people who are able to, even before they walk off our campus, be putting material together. I mean, the joke that I make is that, you know, the best work that you may do your first 5 years in this career are going to be done between you and your friend Steve's basement, and you're going to be able to put it out on YouTube and get that work out into the world. Actors who are not content creators, especially who want to work in front of a camera, end up sitting around waiting for somebody else to help them get a job. Mm-hmm. Actors who are also content creators are making their own work, which helps them make more work. Mm-hmm. So that's just sort of theoretically, I'm sort of getting off the topic a little bit. But freshman year, you're going to take a couple of voice and movement classes, a couple of acting classes, and an acting class that is specifically for an introduction into the training program and some beginning skill sets for actors called Freshman Actor Workshop, and then either a script analysis class or an intro to film acting class.
Great. And then later on, you said third and fourth year is when they really start to split. So right. Let's go track by track and tell us what that looks like.
Great. So again, I'll talk about the screen acting track first, because I've sort of already premiered that. That track is going to take all of the beginning acting and most of the beginning voice and movement classes for the first 2 years. And then they're going to have 7 semesters dedicated to topics in working in front of a camera, including a class that's dedicated to commercial and voiceover work. They're also going to have those 29 hours in the film school, so all of that stuff behind the camera and around the camera, as well as in front of the camera. We want them comfortable on the set in any role that they could possibly find themselves in. So that's where those classes typically go. And then in the junior, especially in the senior year, we kind of pull them back together because we have a series of special topics classes that the students in the two tracks can cross over to. So some of the screen actors can cross over and take my Shakespeare class as a special topics. Some of the stage and screen actors might be able, if there are room, to fit into the commercials class, for instance, as a special topics. So we're trying to blend the advanced classes together as well. The stage and screen actors are going to take 11 semesters of acting classes when you put all the special topics in there. They're taking voice and movement for all 4 semesters, their first their first six semesters. They're going to get trained in working not only music theater skills, but we're big on classical theater. Every actor here, including all the music theater majors, take a Shakespeare class, because we think if you can act Shakespeare, you can act anything. And also, there's something in the neighborhood of 200 paying Shakespeare festivals in the United States, which sort of like our students to be able to work. American Theater Magazine will say that, hey, you know, we do our top 10 most produced playwrights every year, but we never count Shakespeare, because if we did, he'd be number one every year, and every year he's the most produced playwright in America. So we want you to be able to handle that classical language. And even though this track is called stage and screen and not on-camera acting, they still take three semesters of on-camera acting as part of it. Because, and we've added that third semester pretty recently, because what we found is, even before COVID, but especially exacerbated by COVID, live theater's not going anywhere, but man, so much more work is happening in front of a camera now than it ever has before. And this was always happening, but if you wanted to make a nice paycheck down the road, you're going to need to be comfortable in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is, and I mentioned COVID, but you know, the trend for digital auditioning was already starting before COVID hit, but now nobody's doing initial auditions live anymore. So let's say you want to be a big star on Broadway. You still need to be comfortable in front of a camera, because your initial auditions are going to be in front of a camera. So camera savviness is maybe the single most important skill that a stage actor coming out in America in 2022 needs to have.
Yeah.
So they're going to get three semesters of on-camera work in one track and seven in the other.
Yeah, it struck me when you said that the two tracks split up. The first thing I noticed is that they both have that screen element to it. So I was actually going to bring that up, and you're right. There's so much. Everyone has to be able to get in front of a camera these days. Even those of us who absolutely hate it needed to get some. I was an opera singer when in college. We just stand there and sing while people look at us. But you've right. got to learn how to get in front of a camera. So tell us now, let's talk about the performance opportunities. And it's a little bit unique, I'm sure, for the screen actors, because are the plays open to everybody, no matter what their track and major?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's great about this place is I say it's great, that my colleagues in design and production might beg to differ, but we do a lot of production work. We do what I think even a sane person would call a stupid amount of production work. So this year, counting all of the productions that are being done by the School of Music, the School of Theater, the School of Dance, and we have a professional children's theater on campus, and they do a six-show season, we're producing somewhere in the neighborhood of about 55 productions this year. It's a lot. And, you know, those aren't all main stages, and they aren't all fully produced, but there are a ton of different opportunities. And so the plays, musicals, and the dance company opportunities are all open to anyone to audition for from across the campus. And so and the same thing with student film work that's being done here as well. So you will often have BFA actors in the musicals, music theater students shooting student films, film majors who have to be good movers working with the dance company, and dancers in the straight plays. So there are a ton of opportunities, and they are across the areas. There are no bars to casting between producing areas on our campus.
Mm-hmm. You said something interesting. You said they aren't all main stages and they aren't all fully produced. So what does that mean?
Great. So you've got three fully produced dance shows, four fully produced musicals and operas, and four fully produced theater shows. And then you've got different levels of lesser production down from that. So like on the theater school, we have something called Stage 2, which is done primarily in our black box, and usually there are about seven or eight of those a year, half of them faculty directed, half of them student directed, because we've got a really nice directing minor that primarily the BA students and the BFA actors can take. And then there's a student producing organization called Out of the Box, and they do a 6-show season, and then they do a reading series, and then the children's theater, and then there's some cut down, there's a, what are called spotlights, there's a spotlight opera and a spotlight musical, and then there's a student run organization, and they do a student directed and run opera a year, and there's a student organization that does that with a musical, and then there are a couple of choreo shows over in the over in the dance school. So you're sort of getting what I'm like, it goes from full lights and sets and whatever. But in the middle of this week on our campus, there are 5 things in rehearsal or performance. And that's pretty typical for an average week here.
Wow. So if you're not performing, you're not trying there, because there's so much to do. Well, and you just rattled those off without notes. So there must be even more that you didn't even mention.
Yeah. It's a lot. And every year we end up seeing more work being done. There's a second student organization that's primarily about producing new work. So we've got some, you know, a new playwrights festival and a 24-hour playwrights festival going on. There's just a lot of different production opportunities here. We have to put a limit on the number of shows the students can do, because if not, they don't do their homework or graduate, and we'd like them to do that too. It's a fine balance between those things.
So for the screen actors, that of course looks a little, they're looking at producing content and student films and things.
Yeah.
So how does that play out? 'Cause that's different in every school.
Yeah. Well, so, they're working in conjunction with the students who in the film school. Most of those students are there primarily to learn to work on the technical side of working on film or directing. And every one of the BFA film students produces a capstone film. So you've got all of that work. You've got shorter films and television show vignettes being produced in a couple of the classes that the screen acting students take their sophomore and junior year. So they're already used to putting together content from script to screening of different lengths and different kinds of camera layouts and sort of different formats, you know, 25-minute television show episodes, hour-long, and then they'll end up almost certainly all of them working on some kind of feature length student film their senior year. The other thing that those students have working in Oklahoma City right now is the advantage of auditioning for and getting cast in the work that's happening all over the state of Oklahoma. It's a crazy good time to be in film and television in Oklahoma. Several years ago, just before COVID hit, the state legislature passed some crazy tax cuts for film companies to come in. The local tribes then matched that with some more tax cuts for things that are being shot in the tribal areas of the state. During COVID, the largest film studio in the Midwest was built, or basically filled in the old convention center here in Oklahoma City. The largest film studio in the Midwest is in Oklahoma City. There are something in the neighborhood of about 18 feature and independent films slated to shoot in Oklahoma in the next 3 years.
Who would have thought?
DiCaprio was just here shooting a film. There's a lot of extra work. There's a lot of small stuff that's being cast out of the casting agencies here. And there's a ton of crossover between our current students working here and that big film studio which is just, you know, about a mile and a half away from our campus.
Oh, that's incredible. I would never have thought that.
Kidding. I'm a coast guy. You know, like I said, I grew up in California before I came to Oklahoma. And when I got here, there was nothing. So this is like really the last 3 to 5 years. I won't say nothing, but boy, it's been a incremental on the order of like times 10, the amount of film work that's happening here.
Wow. That's great. So at the end of the 4 years, let's talk about what tools you're giving them to transition into professional life.
Great.
And that can be any classes that you offer or showcases, et cetera.
Great. Well, one of the things that we're pretty clear about in terms of the philosophy of the training here is that there are three sides to the performer that we want to train. We want to train the craftsperson. We want to give them skills. We want them to be able to dance and sing and scan verse in Shakespeare. We want them to, though, to be able to do that through the lens of their artistry. So the second thing that we're training is the artist. That one's harder to train. Like, you sort of have to give them experiences and let them find their own artist. But with over 50 different kinds of productions a year and all of the other, you know, the guest artists that we're bringing in, the study abroad experiences, which I want to talk about at some point here too, the students here are getting the artist part of themselves really tuned up. But there's a third part, and I think it's a part that many universities miss, and that's the entrepreneurship part of it. When you're an accountant, you graduate and you go work for an accounting firm, right? Where you become a CPA and maybe you start your own business, but normally you go work for somebody. There's a structure, there's a corporate structure. When you're an actor, you graduate and you become the CEO of your own one-person company, Me Incorporated, and you're out there kind of on your own. We don't want the students graduating from here being out on their own. We want them to be able to be tuned into the entrepreneurship angle of the job that they're choosing to train for from their very first semester. By the time they get to be seniors, we have a class, their capstone class, which is called Audition Techniques and Professional Prep, where they're going to get a ton of detailed information about everything we think they need, the sort of basic feeding and care of an actor out in the world. What city do you want to go to? Where? How are you going to live when you get there? How are you going to sign a lease? How do you find an agent? What are the union, the up-to-date union rules look like? And what does the advantages and disadvantages of being in certain unions in certain cities help you with? All kinds of that stuff. Then, as part of their senior year, they'll have the opportunity to either audition for or be guaranteed entrance to four professional showcases. We have a New York industry showcase in New York. We have an LA showcase. We also have a Chicago showcase and a Dallas showcase. And we're in the works of putting an Atlanta showcase together because Atlanta's become such a big hub for camera work. So Jeez. By the time the seniors that come in now graduate, I expect we'll have five showcases.
They go on tour.
Yeah, well, really, right? You know, and in fact, I've never had a student do all four, but the fact that just have one or two is indicative of the fact that we realize that the industry isn't just LA and New York based anymore. Both of those cities are obviously really important and are going to continue to be important, but not everybody's track leads them there, right? I mean, when I graduated from school, they said, you want to be a stage actor, you go to New York. You want to be a screen actor, you go to LA. And that's just not the world we live in anymore, right? Especially when you can, you know, audition for a TV show from your living room in you know, Michigan or wherever.
So it's not like your showcase is a bus and truck tour by itself. It's that those are what's offered, and then students get to choose which they do, or is there some way that it's determined what they do?
Well, it's a little bit of both. The New York showcase has a limited number of slots, and there are students who are New York bound who are auditioning for that showcase who are music theater majors and theater majors and dance performance majors primarily. We don't cast that one in-house. We bring a casting director and an agent from New York, and they cast our students and put together the best 25 or whatever. It's about that number. Every year it's a little different. So not every student who wants to go to New York as either a music theater major or a theater major is guaranteed that showcase. However, we do the Chicago showcase, the Dallas showcase in-house, and we have a tiny... we also offer an MFA program in on-screen acting, but it isn't housed here. The first year of it is taught in a tiny campus that we have now in Los Angeles, and then those students do their second year in London. So that degree is really advantageous for our Oklahoma City students in that our students aren't competing with graduate students for roles in shows or films, but all of the connections that we have, like Aaron Sorkin is a regular guest at our in our MFA program. So we have Aaron come in via Zoom to talk to our students here once a year. That connection got set up from Kristen Chenoweth, who is a graduate of the music theater degree and who was on West Wing for all those years. So now we have a ton of Kristen knows somebody and somebody else who's a grad knows somebody and this one knows this one, and we're all bringing them together in LA for the MFA students, and then we're going to Zoom them here to the Oklahoma City students. And so there's a real advantage to having that little campus and those connections there. So our New York showcase is in New York. Our LA showcase is in LA. And then Chicago and Dallas. And Dallas is like the fifth largest equity market in America. And they're only 3 hours south of us. So I bring casting directors and agents up from there for a whole weekend. And I've had my students get really nice work at Dallas Theater Center and at Dallas Shakes and get agents and start booking commercial work in Dallas right after graduation. So that sometimes is a starter market for them to end up going somewhere else. So those two on-campus ones, the Chicago one and the Dallas one, every one of our students that's interested can go. We've never had enough push from the LA one yet to turn down students that wanted to go that didn't go. The only one that has a filter to it right now is the New York one, because there are only so many slots that we can take to New York.
And are all of them both acting students and musical theater students in all of those cities?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really incredible. That's really, really great.
So, and, you know, the advantage to having a really rich music theater program with the history that it has and grads like Kristen Chenoweth and Kelly O'Hara is that we have a really established base in New York. We've sort of been on the coattails of our friends in music theater with the New York showcase. But then the theater school set up all these connections in LA. And the more film work becomes central to everybody's work, a lot of our music theater majors are like, I'm not sure I want to go to New York, but that LA showcase looks good. A lot of music theater students have gotten to play with our casting directors and agents from Chicago in that Chicago showcase too. So again, in that way, that unlike a lot of other places, there really aren't a ton of walls between the degree plans here when it comes to all the good stuff.
Wow. So it sounds like there's so much packed into the BFA acting, both tracks. Is it possible for a student at Oklahoma City to study other things, either with a minor or explore things outside of the acting world?
Sure. Well, a lot of that depends on the individual student and what kinds of credits they want to bring in or that they decide to bring in concurrently while enrolled here. The BFA, both BFA tracks are 88 hours in the major, and if you add the 40 hours of general education, that's your degree plan right there. So there isn't a whole lot of wiggle room. However, a lot of students nowadays are coming in with concurrent enrollment, or they're clepping out of things, or they can take as many as 12 hours of general education courses out of, say, a local community college, and those 12 hours then get freed up and they can do pretty much anything they want with them here. So I certainly have my BFA students graduating with minors. We also have a directing minor, a children's theater minor, and a design and production minor inside of the School of Theater, and because those minors are sort of double dipping some classes, I can get you a minor, some of those minors, with a lot less free hours than I would say if you were going to get a poli sci minor or something like that out of our school. So
our listeners can't see what I just did. I just shuddered when he said
that. Tim just made that face where you have to eat broccoli. I would say maybe a quarter of the BFA acting students are coming out of this with a minor in the school. And it's been fun to see, you know, the ones that come in and are like, I know I want to be an actor, but I really like costumes too. They can get a minor and even maybe get a design credit while they're here, while pursuing primarily their acting degree. And then those skills are really useful out in the world. I mean, I focused on some lighting design stuff when I was an undergrad, and my first year out of school, I basically ate hanging lights for a friend's theater company. So those skills that aren't necessarily down the center of the fairway for your major still keep you in a theater. They still keep you working. They still keep you in the environment that you want to be in while you're learning a new city and making your way through things. So we think We talk a lot about big toolbox here, that you have to be the big, have the biggest toolbox of skills available to go work in the world. An agent friend of mine said recently that, you know, you're sending your students out into the most multi-hyphenate business model that's ever been for performers. The old days where you were training triple threat actors, I don't think triple threat's enough anymore. You got to be able to sing, dance, act, do it on camera, and be able to, you know, hustle a side gig or do some dramaturgy or whatever to make that first connection in a theater company. I think the fact that they can do these minors inside of the degree plan makes a ton of sense, because you never know where your career is going to take you, too. I mean, I was a professional actor for most of my life, and now I still act. I'm in a show right now. But I've been directing more, and I didn't get any training in it, and I wish I had. So the fact that these students, some of these students who are thinking, you know, I want to be an actor, but 10 years from now, I'd like to run a theater company, having that directing minor gives them some more texture to their experience before they get out of here. So again, it's up to individual performers what they want to do. And you know, if you're a BFA actor in the stage and screen track and you're really interested in musical theater, you have those 12 hours that you can take outside, and then you can free them up to take music theater workshop in the theater, in the music school, and oral skills, and maybe be in a choir or take a piano class or some stuff that's going to work on your music skills a little bit more. So there are a lot of options, even outside of formalized minors, that you see our students taking advantage of.
Yeah. So Lance, if you go to the Oklahoma City website, there is a pages long list of notable alumni, but could you give us just some of the greatest hits to come out of your program?
I want to talk about four people who are working, who've just come out in the last couple of years, who are just I think killing it. Laura Kariuki is on The Wonder Years on ABC. She graduated 2 years ago, and in the 2 years since she graduated, she's booked a Netflix film, replaced the lead of another TV show, and now she's on this ABC show. Blake Sauceda was just recently on the first tour for Officer and a Gentleman. Saren West was in the cast of Merry Wives at Shakespeare in the Park, and just finished her first Broadway show. She was in the company for Skin of Our Teeth. And Ty Fanning has booked pretty consistently every summer Utah Shakes or American Players Theater, two of the biggest regional classical theaters in America. So just those four who just graduated in the last few years, and those kinds of things. And then if you look at the reputation, the acting school is fairly new. It's been here less than 20 years. But obviously the music theater school has been turning out great alums for a long time. And so you've got Kristen Chenoweth and Kelly O'Hara. Backstage Magazine said that we are one of the top 10 schools represented on Broadway right now. So it's a serious performing arts school. And one of the cool things about this school that really differentiates it from others, and I only listened to part of your chat with my colleague David, so I don't know if he mentioned this or not, but 60% of the freshmen that came in last year were in the schools of music, theater, dance, and film. 60%. We don't have a football team. No, the arts are the football team on our campus. Opening nights are like home games. A little less cooking out in the parking lot and not so many foam fingers in the audience, maybe. But outside of that, opening nights are like home games here.
Wow. I love to hear that. It also means that you're not competing for resources from the university for the sports teams and things, that the arts really are at the center, which is great. And it probably has a lot to do with that pages long list of very successful alumni that you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move forward and talk about the actually one more thing before we get to the audition process. Are students going, I mean, it's your school's in Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is not all just one big cornfield. Can you explain to us, as someone from California who now is in Oklahoma, can you talk to us a little bit about the area that the school's in and what student life is like?
So it's a mid-sized private school, about 2,000 undergrads, but with a couple of, you know, there's a law school and a nursing school and a business school, as well as the performing arts. It's an urban campus, so we're on 23rd Street. We're 23 blocks away from the center of Oklahoma City. When I moved here, I took this job and I had never really been to Oklahoma City, so I did not know what I was getting into. And I had this image in my head of like tumbleweeds and rodeo clowns. Like this was really not, I did not know what I was getting myself into. It's the 30th largest population center in America. If you take this and the surrounding areas together, it's 1.6 million people. There's a Major League Basketball team here. There are three equity theaters. There are beautiful museums. Great food. It's a real foodie town. You wouldn't necessarily expect it. Bon Appetit magazine's best new American restaurant in 2021 was in Oklahoma City. So the city itself is pretty, has done a very good job of modernizing itself. Even in the 17 years that I've been here, they took a derelict area downtown, Bricktown, and turned it into a little canal, sort of mirroring what they do in San Antonio, and a lot of cool restaurants and comedy clubs and performance venues downtown have sprung up around that district. It's a really cool, there are pockets of really, really cool little neighborhoods. You know, a cool little neighborhood around some fashionable galleries, and then a couple of theaters have moved in over in a district called the Paseo, just south of us on 16th Street. Lyric Theater, which is the big music theater, the biggest equity theater in Oklahoma, has their regular home and their the smaller of their two theaters. And there's a lot of cool restaurants, and that's walking distance from the campus. So we are an urban an urban campus in a fairly large population center with all, I think, all of the advantages that come with that.
Great. I think that most people don't assume Oklahoma City is actually a city, and I have to keep I always remind them that it is. So let's now talk about audition process, please. Tell us, my first question always, do you pre-screen?
The music theater program pre-screens. We do the acting program does not pre-screen.
Great. And so we are going to just be talking about the acting program. So tell us then, if you're not pre-screening, what does your application process look like? Your audition process look like, I should say.
Yeah. So we go on the road a ton. So you have a number of ways of intersecting with us and auditioning for us. We will take digital auditions through Get Accepted. We have three national audition weekends here, one in November and two in February, and that's joint auditions with the music theater program and the acting program. So we see a lot of students there, but primarily we see students on the road. I go to Chicago Unifieds. We're at a large number of state thespian festivals, Colorado, Arizona. We do a ton of events in Texas. Texas is huge, and it's just south of us, so we draw a ton from there. In fact, just before I got on this podcast, I've been watching something in the neighborhood of 650 audition videos for the Texas Thespian Festival, which is coming up next week and the week
I'll
after.
I'll see you there.
Hey, all right, we'll be there. No, this will be good. I'm very excited about all of that. So we see actors in all of those places. And I think I was trying to look at it because I knew you were going to ask me this question. I think I saw something like in the neighborhood of about 3,500 auditions last year.
Goodness.
Well, there's 650 just at Texas Thespians, and then there's another 500 at the International Thespian Festival, or 600, and then when you go around and you see, it's well north of 3,000 auditions, and for 45 slots.
Right, and so for 3,500 auditions, how many of those are actual end up being actual applicants? Because at a lot of those festivals and things, you're just seeing them
right.
Before they
apply. Yeah. So that's the thing, that number sounds really, really scary. I would say we probably see about 350 to 400 applicants for 45 slots.
Great. So when you see one of the auditions on the road at Texas Thespians, for example, you see a kid, you love them. Are they offered a spot in your program then and there, or are they, is that a live pre-screen, so to speak, and they're invited to continue on the audition process?
Yeah, that. So it's it rather than pre-screen, the next step, if I see it, okay. So let's say I see a student that I'm really interested in at a regional festival. The next step for me is to get them either to the table or digitally to a callback where I can talk to them about what they're looking for, what their goals and their dreams are. I'll occasionally take a piece of one of their pieces and work it with them a little bit to see how they take direction and what kind of a level of playfulness they have in the room with me, and then lay out some of the advantages, some of the cool things about this program, in order to, because any audition process is like, this is weird, but it's like dating. You got to find the right fit. You know what I mean?
Like, I've literally just did a blog post that said college auditions are like dating. Go to our website and read it. I absolutely did the same thing. I'm talking about swiping right and swiping left with each of the schools.
Absolutely right. And you want to, you when you walk into the audition room, you're trying to put your best, you know, God, I don't want to use Tinder, but like your best Tinder bio out there. Yep. But then when someone clicks on you, you got to look at them and click on them, and you may left swipe on us, you know. So at a certain point, this is not just a callback; it's a conversation. What are you looking for? Here's what we offer. Here are some things that might be of interest to you. Now you go away and you think, well, there are three schools I'm really interested in now after this first stage. If they're interested in me and I'm still interested in them, then all of a sudden we start meshing and we find the right, you know, the right marriages, if you want to keep this silly analogy going, and maybe we don't, but
So is it that all students that want a final offer, do they have to go to campus, just like MT kids eventually have to be on campus?
They need to do one of a couple of things. They can come to campus and audition, or they can do this digital callback with me typically, although it could be with a panel of other faculty as well, depending on the timing of things. But one of those two callback events has to happen before an offer gets made. We don't make any offers at the table.
Got it. And you said there's 45 spots.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, 45 is our target number. And ideally, those are split 22.5 and 22.5 between the two degree tracks, although I don't know how I split half an actor. So it really have to be 23 and 22 or something in that neighborhood.
So in order to be recognized by you as someone who's a really good fit for their program, what advice do you have for students to catch your eye?
Great. I have a couple of things, having seen all these auditions for all these years. The audition is important. Everything else around it is probably more important. One of the things that we do in our accepted auditions, for instance, is we have a wild card slot where they just have a minute to do whatever they want to do. And it could be play an extra song or tell a joke or create a montage that tells you how much they like ponies or whatever it is. But the thing, I'm just thinking about the last three I saw. But literally that thing, or the thing that's like that when you walk into the audition room or the callback room, which is how you present yourself, the energy that you bring into the room, the kinds of questions that you ask. If there is a single quality that I'm looking for more than anything else from an actor to come into my program, it's curiosity. If you are curious, you are hungry to learn. And if you are hungry to learn, you will learn a lot. And if you are not curious, I don't care how talented you are, I'm not that interested in training you. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to grow. And it's a lot of work to do the work that we do in the classroom. So I want you to be curious. That curiosity comes through in the kinds of questions that you ask, in the energy that you bring into the room, and all the rest of that. So that's one thing. The second thing that I would say is the most important piece of advice maybe that I could give anybody for picking monologues, because picking monologues for these college auditions is really tricky. And you're going to have to pick a bunch of different ones because every college has a slightly different set of rules. You know, we don't require you to do a classical piece because I feel like for some high school kids, by the time you graduate from my program, you're going to be masterful at handling Shakespeare. I can promise you that. But I don't expect you to do that coming in. I want you to do two pieces. This is what I would tell them. Do two pieces that you love. Don't pick pieces that you think we want to see. Don't pick pieces that you only kind of sort of like. Pick pieces that you love. Yeah. Because if you love the piece, your love of the piece will show up in the room. You'll leave that in the room. And there is no better calling card than your passion and your love for the work that you do. If somebody walks in and is doing a piece that obviously their coach picked for them or their high school teacher told them they ought to do because this is what we do to audition for colleges, there's no joie de vivre. There's no love for that work in the room. They leave nothing behind them then. I think the best thing that you can do, I mean, think about it, and you know this, Tim, in two minutes, in 3 minutes, how much of your talent can you show me? I can see if you can walk and talk and chew gum at the same time without tripping over your two left feet, but outside of that and hearing if there's vocal damage or not, I'm looking for bold choice making, and that almost always comes when you love a piece. I love the piece. I'm going to take some risks with this. So to me, that's the single biggest thing in picking the pieces, is be in love with the pieces. And if you fall out of love with them, have some other pieces that you love waiting in the background, because that happens sometimes. But right. If you're not in love with the pieces, don't do them.
That's great advice. One of the last questions I always ask my guests, tell us something that you're looking forward to.
Oh, that's great. So I'm looking forward to taking students abroad again post-COVID. Things our summer study abroad trip last summer didn't make, so because of some last-minute COVID stuff that happened. But I am taking a dozen students to Rome this summer, and I am particularly looking forward to that. I'm going to take probably 8 of my seniors to Beijing next October as part of the World Theater Education Alliance. We're the only American school that's been invited to join this thing. There are 15 schools from 14 countries involved, but we're the only U.S. school. And we took a tour in 2019, and we submitted a show via digitally in 2021, but that we're already talking with the Chinese about a trip in 2023. So I'm looking forward to Rome this summer. I'm looking forward to China in October, and then I'm looking forward, theoretically, is that if everything works, and it's looking like it's going to, then I'm going to take students with a Greek tragedy to the island of Cyprus the next summer, and they're going to be performing in an ancient Greek amphitheater that was wow. Ancient Roman amphitheater that was literally built 2,000 years ago. So I'm really looking wow. forward to those opportunities. We're a huge study abroad school, and all of our faculty-led trips have international performance opportunities tied to them. So they're pretty unique. I don't know anybody else that's doing anything quite like what we're doing internationally.
No, that sounds incredible, and I'll happily come along and cover it all great. On the podcast.
Great. We need to talk about this.
Yeah, funded by Oklahoma yes. City University. Sign me
yes.
up. I'm there.
Absolutely.
Lance, it was so great to sit and chat with you today and find out absolutely. More about the BFA programs at Oklahoma City University. If parents or students want to get any more information, what's the best way to get in touch?
They can email me. It's dmarsh, D-M-A-R-S-H, at okcu.edu. Dmarsh at okcu.edu. Or they can check the website at okcu.edu. Check the School of Theater page. There's a ton of information there as well.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sitting chatting with us. I look forward to seeing you out on the road soon. It's Chicago awesome. Unifieds. I'll be there too.
Excellent.
But we hope to have you around here again real soon too.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much, Tim.
Yep. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at the College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.